All right, well, last few weeks we've been talking about the rapture. Kind of had it wrapped up, and then I thought, you know what, let's touch on this a little bit and kind of put a fitting conclusion on it, because I was sort of a little confused, or not confused, but I kept thinking, how could I explain from the time of a death to the rapture? And I was like, if I had this, I could do it. And anyhow, I got to thinking about it, and I got a way to show it to you. So we'll get into that, and that's why I want to continue on with what we've covered. So the rapture, that glorious thing that's going to take place, not might, not could, is going to take place. Will it happen in our lifetime? Nobody knows. You can't go in the Bible and find a date of it. It's one of those things that's a mystery happening, both in time and the fact that there'll be people at that time that will not have died and will just leave the earth and vanish out from this earth. And I know there's a lot of questions there that I can't answer. For instance, people ask about family members, children, things of that nature. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I just trust the fact that if God was gracious enough to save us, as sinful as we are, God has a good plan for allowing for those things. That's the best I can do for you. I can't go and give you answers that I don't know, and I don't know of any scripture that bears out anything concerning what happens to family members in the event that the rapture takes place. Moving forward from there, let's see if we can talk about other things I don't have an answer for. No, I'm just kidding. I'd be like, well, what am I doing here? Anyhow, Paul addressed a few things. Let's do a quick review on some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've stressed to you about the fact that man is made up in a triune being. And where's my marker? He's got a spirit, soul, and body. And that's his makeup when he's born into this world. Now, those of us that are saved have a fourth element to us, and I'm going to do a capital because it's deserving of it, because we have the Holy Spirit that's in us once we believe. And that's the whole working of God to identify who is in the body of Christ. Matter of fact, when we're saved, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If you look up the word seal, it carries actually the understanding of the word branded. You know, it's like when they brand cattle. What was the branding for? Identification purposes. Back in the day, one of the biggest threats they had, I say back in the days, you go to cowboy days and not John Wayne days, 1800s and things of that nature, one of the biggest things they had was cattle rustling. That's why there was a harsh treatment, judgment, on people who stole cattle or horses, because it was very severe crime. And so they would brand their cattle, and, you know, people in your area would know the brand. It would be new, unique to you or your farm. And so if they saw that cow at the market and it wasn't identified with the owner of the brand, they would understand that, hey, there's something fishy going on here. So the Spirit then is like a brand. It seals us. It gives us an identification as to who our ownership is, and that's God Almighty. And contrary to what people teach about this, unfortunately they do this, is that we're sealed with it. And some people talk about you can break a seal. Well, theoretically you can, as long as it's a weak seal, like a strand of cloth or a piece of paper. Yeah, in your mindset you can. But how can you break a seal that's a spirit? I mean, you can't grab it, you can't hold it, you can't tug on it, you can't even see it to find it to do it. So consequently, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until we get basically out of this world. So that's what we're looking at. So dealing with this whole makeup of man, In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul addresses what happens when an individual dies. In other words, he's going to address this part of the makeup of man who has the Spirit, not a lost person, but that makeup of man who has the Spirit of God. And in so doing, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, he says, "For we know," and that's always powerful. Check out the verses that Paul writes in his writings where he talks about "we know," meaning there's no debate on this. I'm not guessing at it. We know. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," and so he's talking about the physical body dissolving, breaking down, being destroyed, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the dust of the earth." Where is it? It's in the heavens, okay? "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." You ever groan? Moan and groan. That's the life we leave, right? Moan and groan. He knew what he's talking about. "We do groan, being burdened." It's a burdensome life. "Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Now, there's some that teach this. Well, when the individual dies, their body goes into the earth. And so they just buried, so the body, soul, spirit is all down in there. Okay, well, we'll go with that. So Paul just taking their position right now. So what they're saying is that the body obviously will dissolve in the earth, dust back to dust, right? So they teach it that way. So consequently, they teach, according to 2 Corinthians 5, that now there's a body in heaven. So at the rapture, you'll be brought up and put into that body. It gets a little bit challenging when you read some other verses and you see something a little more to it than that. For instance, go to 1 Thessalonians. And this is what really challenges that thought. Let me go ahead and kind of do a... Now, you know, normally when I do the board, I kind of do a little bit of the Old Testament, if I need it, mainly the ministry of Christ, Peter's ministry, then I go in the body of Christ and a little bit of the tribulation and kingdom. We're going to do a little different today in that the body of Christ is going to be here because I want the board here for this process. So I'm going to put an X at this point in time, which I'll explain a little bit later. And I'm going to put, let's go out here so I'm not crammed together here. This here marks the end of the body of Christ. On this study, I'm not interested in what happens before and I'm not interested in what happens after. I want to focus our focus on in between the parameters of the starting of the body of Christ and the ending of the body of Christ, hence us in the middle here and how that gets involved. So consequently, there are those that says, well, when you die, your body and soul, spirit all goes into the earth. According to 2 Corinthians 5, there's a body up there, eternal in the heavens, that you're going to be clothed upon. So they're saying when the rapture takes place, those that are in the grave, and I'm just going to put an X, which means under the earth here, surface of the earth, they've all been buried. The rapture will take place and you're going up to be with the Lord to get this new body. Now that's those that have died, okay? Before we read 1 Thessalonians 4, hold that, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look in chapter 15, look in verse 51. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery," meaning a truth that has not been revealed yet. But since he's showing it to you, it's going to be revealed. What is that? "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Well, there's the mystery. So, we've got people then that'll be on the earth when this time takes place. And these people also have spirit, soul, body, and the Holy Spirit. So then we're not going to all sleep when we go out, when the time ends with the rapture or the being caught up, as Thessalonians words it, that will be caught up, there'll be those that'll still be alive. However, we do know from both in this church and church history that many saints have fallen asleep up until this day. But there'll come a time when the Lord will come into the air and he's going to catch up the believers. Well, there are those that are already died. So let's see what happens here at this conclusion where God's got to deal with those that have already died in Christ and those that are alive and remain. He's got to work this out. If you remember last time, 2 weeks ago, before you had the blackout of 2:14, it was a blackout, wasn't it? You remember, maybe you do, maybe you don't, I was saying that God's got to deal with two situations when he closes out this age. What are the two situations? That there are people that are already dead in Christ and there are people that are alive. He's got to close out this program. It's not going to be a slow transition. It's going to be abrupt. It's going to happen in a moment. So he's got a way to close this thing out. So with that said, go now to 1 Thessalonians, as we had earlier. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." So God is going to use Paul to address the concerning those that are asleep. I could put a lot of X's under there, but they're asleep. Now, he's addressing them. "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So apparently the Thessalonians were a very distraught group, troubled about loved ones that have died in Christ. Where are they? Are we going to ever see them again? And all those type things. Legitimate questions, right? So he says, verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," watch this, "will God bring with him." That is absolutely key. Will God bring with him? Well, now here's questions that I'm not trying to belittle anybody with. But will God bring with him during the rapture? Is God coming out the ground? Well, no. We know where he's at, right? He's up in heaven. So let's let him be in heaven where he belongs. Heaven is his home. The earth is his footstool. So he's up in heaven. But here's the thing. Paul is addressing those that have already died concerning them which are asleep. He says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Dry up the tears is what he's saying. Because he says God will bring them with him. So then, those that are asleep in Christ, obviously, their bodies, which died, are down in the earth. However they died, whether they died of an illness, whether they were rammed through back in the day with a horn of an ox, or they died in battle, or they died in a flood, or however they died, ultimately their body is left to this earth. But they have the spirit and soul. Now, with that said, Paul addressed the nakedness of man if the body dies. Well, he didn't say you were covered in dirt. He addressed the nakedness of man when he died. Why? Because the body goes to the earth. The spirit and soul, by the Spirit of God, goes up and goes into this heavenly body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you remember that body, as a body made in heaven, not made with hands, so the spirit and soul goes up into these bodies that are made. So basically, God had a plan that through this age, which is now almost 2,000 years old, he knew there would be believers that's going to die. So he took care of them by providing a body for them that's fitted for heaven. So guess what it does not have? Flesh and blood. Why? Flesh and blood what? Cannot inherit. So it's a spiritual body not made with hands that they went up and went into this body. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to deal with this guy right here. Okay? This guy died. He was alive here. He died here. This is his burial below the ground. But he's alive here. He died here. Just keep in mind, this is an individual. Don't know who, just an individual. What year you want to grab? Where you want me to put this guy? 1888. Okay? 1888. You didn't want 660? Oh, okay. All right. Oh. He was a saint. Somebody died in that year. Somebody lived in that year. All right. For some reason, Donald likes 1888. I guess because it's a good time. The Civil War was over. I don't know. So, huh? Toll free, 188. Okay, well, there we go. He died in 1888. Read all about it in the obituary. So he died. He was a saved guy, okay? So let's let him rest. Now, this is probably a family member. If you go back and check your tree, he's a family member. Now, y'all, look, I can see it on your face. You're sad. You're just shy of tears. You're brokenhearted. Because will I see old Joe from 1888? I'm glad Joe's not here again. Wish he was. He's going to get old. He's going to get tired of all that. So old Joe died in 1888. There's no reason for you to be sad or distraught. Why? We are. But how are we going to do that? Joe, I went to the funeral. I saw that guy. They dropped him 6 feet under because Joe's spirit and soul left out of this body when it died and went up into that new heavenly body, eternal in the heavens, and he has, from this point in time, gone to sleep. At this time, 1888, as Donald said, he went to sleep. So consequently, if he's in Christ, he is still asleep. So, he's up there. Now watch how this works. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, Joe also, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. You got that? Y'all need to read again, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's referring to the gospel, even so, Joe also, which sleeps in Jesus, will God bring with him. Joe's up there asleep, right? Is God going to bring him with him? All right. So, Joe and Christ and a bunch of others get brought back. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, right here. What year is this, Donald? No, it can't be last. 2014, later tonight. Okay? 2014. What's his name? Who?
Joe or
Joe's already dead. No, who is this? That's right. There ain't no hope about it. There's Martin. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So here we have those that are asleep with Christ. Will God bring with him? So he's going to come back. And God's going to bring old Joe back with him. So don't cry about Joe. Because verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now the word prevent means to precede them. We won't go in advance of them. In other words, there's a little bit of an order here in that the process is these are going to awake and come be with the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain, as he words it in verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So we're not going to get ahead of them. We shall not prevent them or precede them. They're going to rise first. You remember last week, I took y'all on a trip about the word rise, that it doesn't mean elevation. It means awake. Like rise and shine. The kids are in school. You probably got to shake them up a little bit because they're not adjusted to the school time as well as they're going to be, hopefully. But they're going to, hey, rise and shine. Breakfast is ready. Rise and shine. You got to get dressed. Rise. Awake. So those that are asleep in Christ will God bring them, for they shall rise first. This is the order. They're going to awake first. Verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." Mount Zion. Jerusalem. Where are we going to meet them? In the clouds. So then, they're going to awaken. Joe's coming back with them. The Lord is going to come down, and then all of a sudden, Martin's up there, and they're going to chest bump and high five and shout hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? We've handled two different people or groups in this one body here, both those that are asleep and those that are awake. Paul laid it out time-wise. The mystery is this. It's the Martins of the world. That's the mystery. Why? Because when he returns, Martin's still alive. So what's he going to do? Philippians chapter 3. "Our vile bodies shall be changed." So somebody's body is going to disappear out of here. Martin will not be seen at the school teaching the kids anymore. Their education will not improve, but they won't have the teacher. Because pretty much, Martin, they don't really need a teacher, do they? They can be pretty bland by themselves. I mean that toward you. I meant they don't apply themselves.
Well, when the tribulation, I guess.
No, I mean. And then we're back to chariot, so cars are done, right? But anyhow, so Martin doesn't die, but he leaves out. So the body of the flesh, of flesh and bones, can't go up there to meet Joe. He can't inherit the kingdom of God. So God took care of it. God is going to dress Martin with a body that's spiritual in nature, in that it will defy gravity, It will defy space and all the harmful elements to this physical body and will have the ability to fly. I mean, come on, guys, it's not difficult. If you're going to sit there and sing it, sit there and believe it. I'll fly away, okay? If you're going to sing it, believe it. So you're going to fly away, and you're going to meet the Lord and the saints, Joe, that came with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So wipe the tears away, Thessalonians. We're going to have a reunion. We're going to be joined back together. Now, if this happens tonight, 2014, how many years has transpired from 1888 to then? I'm scared to do the math. I'm terrible. You can do it on your phone, 2014. Who? 136? No, huh? No. No, do it on your phone. I'll be willing to bet that someone in here is wrong.
Yeah.
Huh?
I
heard
it made it 1890 and then
we wouldn't be happy. No. Get on your phone. You got a calculator.
It's
2014 minus 1888 is, drum roll. Give it to Michaela. She can do it quicker. How much? That's what I was trying to tell you. Y'all, tough crowd. So then, Joe left out of here. And so the rapture. Now, I had the line here because I can't bundle everything together. I guess I could, but it would become... Anyhow, this X is Martin 2014. That's when this is going to occur. Later tonight, by the way. So just call in, tell the boss, I hate your guts, I quit.
Yeah, go ahead.
But don't tell me nothing come Sunday. Martin. So what is it, 126?
Yeah.
All right. So we got 126 years. From the time that Joe went to sleep to the rapture. Now, this is what I tried to impress on you guys. And verbally, it's very difficult because you might not mentally pick it up. So I can't, you know, to verbalize and then you mentally pick it up. Sometimes there's the missing link that you really need. So I thought, doggone, if I had a board like paper and all that, I could show it to you really convenient. Then it hit me. I got it. I can do it. So anyhow, Joe falls asleep right here. At that instant, the instant that Joe falls asleep, he is not conscious to anything. Years, days, conditions, where he's at, what he's doing. He is asleep, right? Can you repeat that, Lisa, or are you going to... Having her own little world, right?
No, no, no. I know all about it.
She was calling
a ball. Okay. So anyhow, Joe falls asleep. Joe falls asleep, 1888, right? So he's not conscious of anything that's going on, has gone on, where he's at, what he's doing, nothing. He's asleep. The system's shut off. And then the rapture takes place. So basically, it would be, and here it is, he falls asleep at this point, and the curtain in his life is drawn, oh shoot, hang on to this point. I can do it. I can do this. It goes to this point. In other words, the moment he fell asleep, he's going to be in the rapture. He's not going to know 126 years went by. He's not going to be tired of sleeping. He's not going to get insomnia. He's not going to have a rough night. Won't be any thunder waking him up. Won't be any alarms going off. The only alarm, by the way, that will go off which is very interesting, is something called a trumpet. It's mentioned in both accounts, 1 Corinthians 15, and it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians. Trumpets are not really addressed in Paul's writings. However, they are concerning the rapture. Trumpets had great play and use concerning Israel. Trumpets were used to sound out to the princes or the kings of the town to gather. It's a grand gathering type thing. They're also used to sound for war. The enemy's coming. There were men that were set out as guard posts that had trumpets, and they had a certain blast that they would blast. It was also used in the same line, instead of the enemy coming, to round up the troops of Israel to go fight the enemies. So trumpets always had a sounding event. Well, there's going to be a trumpet that'll play here. And by the way, I found something interesting in that if you look up trumpets and go through the accounts, whether it's in Numbers, Deuteronomy, or whatever, like, for instance, when Moses went up to the mount, the Lord's voice is described as a trumpet. He heard the trumpet, the voice of the Lord, that type thing. So, don't know how that helps you there, but nonetheless, that is going to be the awake signal, this special trumpet at that time to wake up Joe and the rest of them so that Joe can meet Martin, have a good old time. So then we see this process that it doesn't work if you're under the belief that when an individual dies, their body, soul, and spirit lays into this dust, lays down in the earth, because of what 1 Thessalonians says, that God will bring them with him. So he can't bring them with him if they're in the earth. The body is, the body's gone back to the dust of the earth. The beauty is, God has a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, so their soul and spirit are not found naked. They're clothed upon with that heavenly body, and so they're asleep. They'll come down with the Lord. We won't prevent them. We won't precede them in going up. They're going to get up. They're going to rise first. Wake up, come down. Martin's alive and awake. He's driving to work, says, oh, I wish I didn't have this job. And boom, he's gone out of here. You don't have your job. Martin meets Joe, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's how I see it. It's 7:45. I'll take any questions. Okay, good. Good night. Yeah. The body going into the earth and the soul. Yeah.
The soul sleep, as Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons came up with that.
Mm.
And so R.W. Armstrong is another one that took it upon itself, and he picked up this teaching.
They have to do it. And the reason why they have to do it is they don't identify with the dispensation of grace. Right. Exactly. So,
the spirit is dead in the ground, or buried in the ground, then the soul is just asleep.
Right.
Asleep for eternity.
Right. And if you go with this model, where would you prove that if you bury somebody, let's go with the standard, 6 feet under. All right, we're not talking about they were caught in a house fire, you know, or blown up by a bomb. They just died of old age, put 6 feet under. What would you use? What verse would you use to fortify the idea that the spirit and soul is in that grave? Because I've got other verses outside of the body of Christ that when they died, their soul either went to hell or Abraham's bosom, right? I can prove that, but I have nothing to prove that says the spirit and soul go down here into the 6 foot depth. I can prove that outside of the body of Christ, they would go to Abraham's bosom or hell. Okay? I can prove that, but I can't prove that that is here. I have nothing to prove it by. It's just your own philosophy and the thought process. But if you, like I said, if you can go with that, if I took spirit and body, I mean spirit and soul, and I dragged them down and I put them right here, then it throws off Thessalonians that God will bring them with him. Because they're not with him if they're down here. You see, that's the problem you run into. Then you have to say, oh, well, they have the Spirit of God that was in them. He's returned up there. Then you got to suppose all this kind of stuff. This way, guys, you don't have to believe it, but it makes it so easy. You can understand it. So, anything else? Huh? I don't know. I don't. It's really simple when you see it laid out that way, you know? And you can understand the Thessalonians. I mean, this is first century. This is a new ministry out there. These are Jews. Where'd Paul go when he got to Thessalonica? Went into, as his manner was, he entered into the synagogue. Where was a synagogue of the Jews? So the Jews, even though they weren't believers, they all read the Old Testament scriptures and they looked for several things. They looked for a Messiah and they looked for a king that would lead them in that kingdom as was prophesied and promised to who? Abraham, our father. That's what they looked for. So when Paul came and preached the gospel, which by the way was new, they got saved. But they didn't know they're in a whole new program. So God has got to show them how he's going to cut this thing off. That it's not going to go into the time of Jacob's trouble. The man of sin will not be revealed until the body of Christ is out of the way. So he had to lay that out so you can clearly see it. And I don't want to say God has a problem. I'm going to word it that way. God had a problem. Not insurmountable. He's God, he can fix it. His problem was this. During this span, once again, he had everybody that would get saved. Well, he had those that died. Then when the Lord returns, he had those that lived. So he had his Joes and Martins that he had to conclude this age with on a program where he can close it like that. So, and he did. He's got it laid out, and it's going to happen that way. Hopefully, tonight, because I really, really don't want Martin to go to work tomorrow. That's the whole goal in the rapture, is that Martin does not have to go to work tomorrow. Got to jump on the whole thing, right? All right, any other questions? You talking about this spirit and soul?
Yeah, our spirit and our soul.
As long as the spirit's in you, you're alive. Okay. When I was first saved, I had that question, and this is the way it was explained. If you take a basketball, okay, you've got the leathery outside. I'm not saying anything to you guys or myself, but that's our body. Makeup helps. But nonetheless, the basketball is got the leather outside. That's the body. Within there is a bladder. If you've ever seen inside of a basketball or football, there's a rubber bladder in there. That's the soul. That's what gives it the helps with the bounce, by the way. That's emotions. That's the seat of emotion. That's the psyche. If you look up soul, that's what it is in the Greek, psyche. The essence, the makeup of the character and the personage of who we are. The spirit is what's inside that gives us life, which would be the air of the basketball. So you got exterior leather body, interior bladder, they call it, is the soul. Air is the spirit. If you let the air out of the basketball, it just plops. It has no life. If the spirit leaves out of you, you're going to plop. You have no life. For something that you can't see, that's the best that I can explain it. Because, you know, you can't, like, they'll take the body that you can see and use it as cadavers and study it. Can't do that with the spirit and soul. So you can only know so much about it, about the spirit and soul. So if you look at Adam, God took him, dust of the earth, made the body. God breathed in him, in his nostrils, the breath of life, the spirit of man. And then Adam became, oh, he became a basketball. Follow me on this. No, I'm just kidding. You know, then he became a living soul, so he had his character about him at that point in time. So
the.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter, I think, 3. His that the spirit of man is your whole comprehension of things, okay?
Like your mind.
Your mind. Yeah, exactly. The soul is your emotion. In other words, if your spirit comprehends a joke, the soul of an individual laughs or smiles, that type of thing. So the spirit, and people want to correct the Bible because the King James is wrong. It says his spirit, it's capitalized in 1 Corinthians. Beareth witness with our spirit, and it's a small s, which that doesn't look small, but it should be small. That's because it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not a personage. Okay. So they say, we see God's book is messed up. It should be capital. No. It's God's spirit, which has to do with the word of God, beareth witness through reading and preaching with our spirit for understanding, which should cause us to go, hallelujah. Soul, until our body die or we go be with Joe. So, Mark, you got questions? Yeah, well, that's a whole different ball game. Let me tell you a little hint on that, okay? We can't go into it, and I don't know it fully, but this is something that goes, that's interesting. Jesus Christ, and he talked about it in Psalms, Peter quoted it, that his soul was not left in hell. It says in Peter that when he went down, who did he preach to? The spirits. No, you were talking. It was the spirits. It was the spirits of those that were disobedient in the days of Noah, which goes back to our January through about July study on the giants who were crossbred. So that really went, that's wild. That's what made me think of it, about people, so they don't have a soul. What, you know, people say that about individuals. Well, he went and preached to the spirits. So maybe they did not have a soul in their makeup because God did not create them. They're hybrids. So just animals, what about them? So you want your little Fifi Chihuahua to go to heaven with you? Well, the animals are not a redeemable thing. You know, they're just animals. So they die and they return back to the earth. I think that's Ecclesiastes. I want to say 20, but I could be wrong.
I mean, don't you think they could have a soul which explains their little personality?
I don't know.
They're not trying.
I mean, what do you think? I am the dog whisperer or something? I have no idea. I don't know about the ghost element. I can't honestly say that I've ever personally seen a ghost, so don't you freak me out, man. Don't start. Get me scared.
I'm not scared of them.
Well, I know there are critters out there. So when you see the videos that are really, really difficult to say, that is not a real video. There are some that are really good videos of stuff out there. Now, I believe that. But as far as ghosts, you know, people put this stuff on YouTube, let's say, and it's a security camera in an office at night, and there's this thing that goes across. Well, folks, I can tell you that computer generation now is way beyond our understanding because none of us are that good with a computer. There are geeks out there that can just about do anything with a computer. So until I see something drifting across and all that other, which I don't want to, you know, I just got to say, I've just never witnessed it. Now, running the route at night, 2 to 6 a.m. for the years I did, I saw some things up there, and I don't tell people about it because they, like, you're a nut. I know I am, but I saw something, you know. So, and then also I know that they're out there. I know by the book that they're out there. So, you know, it's just you can't chase things when people go, well, what about people who saw this ghost? Well, I don't know. What about them? You know, that's an account. Is it true? Is it, you know? Yeah, but she didn't do it. Well, the Lord did. The Lord allowed the callback because when he showed up, that woman ran out the back door screaming. I mean, literally, I'm giving my own version, but she freaked. She screamed. It freaked. Well, why would that freak you out if that's you do that anyway? Because it worked. That's why. I think Mark sent me something on giants, and this goes back to our giants days, where there was accounts, and I forgot where these were. I want to say it was in the States, up around Pennsylvania, that these dudes were like 9 feet tall, and there it was 1800s, I think, where they had accounts written down, and they unearthed the accounts and the bones like a little settlement. And people had written about them. This goes back to what I'm just telling you what they said. Yeah, but what it said is that their eyes, there was a brightness to their eyes, like lights to their eyes. I mean, that's what the article said. That is somebody writing like in a newspaper about it in the 1800s, and they found all this stuff through digging for an office space. And whenever they find bones or relics, by law, they've got to stop the construction and check it out, okay? Well, that's what happened here. And that was the account that they found in the paper about it. Their eyes, the locals reported that these giants' eyes would give off a glow. That's freaky. Like the Zuzemans,
well,
the buzzers.
Bzz, 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 bzz.
You see, y'all done left Joe and Martin all alone. How can you do that? All right. We clear? Clear for takeoff? Uh-oh. I mean, yeah, Lisa. What? Well, we would be finished, and you could say, don't erase it, Mark. I want a picture.
I thought about that after I was berated.
Berated? Maybe paraded in front of everybody, but not berated.
Joe texted me and said I fell asleep.
Oh, okay. Not in Christ, did he? Is he Joe?
I think he might be.
Oh, you got to get this. Take a picture and send it to him. And tell him this is what we taught on. It will make no sense, but you'll see Joe went to sleep.
That's too funny.
Oh, wait, he can't take pictures. He doesn't receive pictures.
Oh, Joe.
He's a Jew.
Oh, he's back in. He's all. He's antique. He's all the way back to the 1990s, isn't he?
Did talk about the